Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Visioneering Technologies Quarterly Investor Update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Stephen Snowde, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning for those of you in Australia where the sun is up, and good evening to those of you out in the United States where the sun is going down. This is Stephen Snowde. I'm Chief Executive of Visioneering Technologies, and I'm joined on the call by our Chief Financial Officer, Mark Rappaport. The purpose of today's call is to review our Appendix 4C cash flow filing for the fiscal quarter ending December 31st, 2017, which was lodged with the ASX yesterday. Following a summary of the results, we'll open up the call to questions, and just the usual note here that all dollar amounts we will discuss today are denominated in U.S. dollars. In case you're new to the VTI story, just a quick reminder that we sell in the United States a revolutionary contact lens called Natural View Multifocal. These are daily disposable soft contact lenses being used by optometrists in the United States in two key patient segments that total over $5 billion of addressable market in the U.S. The first patient segment is composed of people over the age of 40 who are gradually losing their ability to see things that are close to them, such as a menu, a book, or a phone. You'll easily spot these people in a restaurant as they hold the menu as far away from themselves as possible. And then they just order the special because they can't read the menu, so they're pretty easy to spot. This condition is called presbyopia, with the presby meaning old and the opia meaning optics, and it affects almost everyone over the age of 45. The other patient segment is composed of children who are nearsighted and getting worse every year, a condition called pediatric myopia. This affects around a third of U.S. children, which is double what it was 30 or 40 years ago, and 80 to 90% of Asian children. People with myopia are at very high lifetime risk for blindness and other serious ocular diseases. And myopia is actually correlated with the lifetime risk of ocular disease as tightly as smoking is related to heart disease. So progressive myopia is a very important condition to address. We are pleased to have another quarter of revenue and account growth and a nice end to what has been a remarkable year for the company. Revenues in the fourth quarter were $395,795 compared to third quarter revenue of $354,322. This brought 2017 revenue to $1,048,978. This growth occurred against the headwind in the contact lens industry that generally results in even the largest companies reporting fourth quarter revenues lower than third quarter revenues. Just to provide some color on that dynamic that is industry-wide, nearly all contact lenses in the U.S., and that includes VTIs, are bought from contact lens companies by distributors at a discount to list price, and the distributors set their purchase volumes based on historical trends in the industry. And fourth quarter demand at the end user, whether that's at the patient level or the practitioner level, is known from those trends to be quite a bit lower than demand in third quarter, which causes reduced purchases by the distribution company in the fourth quarter. Compounding those purchasing behaviors is the distribution company's likely management of inventory and cash balance at their year end, which would make sense. And, you know, for these reasons, quarterly reported revenue is likely to be a bit lumpy while VTI is in a rapid growth phase. It's probably obvious to the sophisticated investors on this call, but still worth mentioning that data from multiple reported quarters should be considered when looking at VTI's growth. Active accounts, which are defined as accounts that purchase our products within the quarter, grew to 730 accounts, up from 528 active accounts reported at the end of the third quarter. It's a nice growth, once again, in active accounts. We finished the quarter and the year with $16,584,000 in the bank, with cash outflow during the quarter of $3.2 million. And expecting cash outflow to increase in the first quarter of 2018 to just under $5 million. We currently have 25 territory managers. Territory managers is another name for sales representatives. Plans are still to bring the total to 45 territory managers by around mid-year, with the next phase of hiring planned for second quarter. And we are already starting to talk to potential candidates for that phase of hiring. A really interesting aspect of hiring sales reps is that you wouldn't want us hiring sales reps who are available in the last quarter of the year, and maybe not even in the first quarter, as those are going to be reps who don't have a lot of commission bonus to lose. So you expect better hiring, better contestants in the second and third quarter. And international expansion, the CE mark process, which is our regulatory ticket to Europe, Australia, Canada, and some Asian countries, continues as expected. Drafting and filing activities were completed in 2017, and the CE mark is under review, with a decision expected in the order of days to weeks. On the clinical front, in the fourth quarter, we saw peer-reviewed data published in a high-impact journal demonstrating a 96% reduction of progression of myopia in children. And, of course, we're very happy with that data. It's very exciting and very excited by what it means to the children who are suffering from myopia. We're expecting additional data in children to be released at the Global Specialty Lens Symposium at the end of January. In non-core product development, we are iterating and clinically testing toric lenses and a next-generation sphere lens with expectations to launch those products now toward the end of 2018 and the multifocal toric in the first half of 2019. So in summary, a very good 2017, a very excited 2017. We're pleased with the progress and are looking forward to 2018 with excitement. And I guess with that, we could open it up for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. We will now pause briefly to allow questions to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Matthias Smith from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
G'day, Steve. Just want to run through a few things. I guess the fourth quarter revenue number was lower than I was expecting, and everyone that I was speaking to was expecting. Is this a trend that we should expect going forward, that we have typically three quarters of growth and then a flat or possibly negative December quarter, just so we can manage our expectations going forward?
Yeah, I think there are pretty clear trends in the data that we've seen that's industry-wide, publicly available, easy to find if you look around for it. And I think what's clear from that data, what's very clear and consistent, is that third quarter tends to be a very strong quarter for the contact lens industry, and fourth quarter tends to be a very weak quarter in the contact lens industry, with most companies reporting revenue lower than third quarter by a pretty material amount. So yeah, I think if you watch it for a while, you will see some seasonality. If you do some research on the other contact lens companies, Alcon and Vistacon and Cooper Vision all have their data available, you will see some pretty consistent seasonality. And even though we're growing very rapidly, and you would expect us to be a little less impacted by those negative growth quarters, you know, we are subject to, we sell our product to a distributor that is buying based on industry-wide trends, not necessarily based on our trends. So the answer to that short answer is yes, you should expect to see some seasonality that's pretty consistent.
And is it too early in January to sort of, from your perspective, seeing a reversal of that seasonality, as it were, for this coming quarter? Like, can we expect some decent growth in the March quarter?
A little bit early to be able to determine that. You know, certainly as we get into February and start looking back at January, we'll have a better feel.
Yeah.
But I would expect, just based on the industry trends, for little improvement in the first quarter, and then second quarter, further improvement, third quarter being the best quarter of the year.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are exceptions, very regular exceptions to those trends, but generally that's what we see in the larger companies.
Okay, just moving on to approvals. You said CE mark could come through, you know, any day or week. Where is the company at in terms of, you know, once CE mark comes through, potential launch plans for Australia and other Asian countries, and also Hong Kong that doesn't, I believe, require a CE mark approval?
Yeah, so obviously the CE mark opens up Europe most expediently, and we're just starting the talks with potential distribution partners in Europe. The Australian does require a very brief filing. The filing, my chief medical officer would probably kick me if I said it's simpler, but it still takes time for the Australian authorities to review that filing. We don't know how long that's going to take, whether it's weeks or months right now. It seems to have quite a bit of variability. We have that package ready to submit to Australia, and it'll just be up to the Australian government on how long that actually takes. You are correct. Hong Kong is a jurisdiction that requires no approvals for us right now, and we're starting to talk to distributors there and look for potential clinical partners in Hong Kong. So that is underway.
And finally, you said there may be some additional clinical data coming through, you know, possibly by the end of this month. Would that be in the form of a peer-reviewed journal publication as the last one was, or is it going to be an abstract presentation type thing at a meeting?
It'll be a presentation at a meeting. And as you know, very often the high-quality ones from the meetings can often lead into sometimes peer-reviewed publications. But for now, this is slated as a presentation at a national meeting.
And in terms of disseminating that information out to the market, would that be via a press release from the company, or will you be able to talk about the data, I guess, is what I'm getting at?
Certainly the data that those, it's not our data, it belongs to practitioners who generated that data, but certainly to the extent that whatever they publish, we'll certainly be republishing as much of that as we can.
Yep, and
the intent is to distribute that as widely as possible.
Yeah, but if you're sitting in the presentation, you can report what's presented?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. I'll get off and let others on the call. Cheers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Blake from BioShares. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen. Just two questions. You made mention of obtaining some new patents during the quarter. I'm wondering if you could just briefly fill us in on what you've done there. And the second question is, what type of feedback have you been receiving from your new accounts? Thanks.
Okay. So just really quickly on the patents, there were a couple of patents that came through late in the year. One of those patents is a patent in China, actually, which of course is the largest myopia market in the world, a patent that would protect our optical designs and our contact lenses for the purpose of myopia progression control in children. So that's a pretty key patent. We also received a patent in Singapore. This is kind of a newly filed patent estate that we filed around the world. Singapore was the first to actually issue it and to start the ball rolling on those issuances. That patent is protects the currently marketed products we have in the market. Of course, when we first started designing lenses at Visionaring, there were lots of products that did not work that we've eliminated from consideration in the designs as we've in clinic learned what worked and didn't work. And there are some that worked really well. And so we filed additional patent protection around the ones that worked really well. And Singapore was the first country to issue that patent. The feedback that we get from the accounts is what keeps us going. We get great anecdotal feedback in both presbyopia and in children who are wearing the lenses, myopic children who are wearing the lenses. And that gives us a lot of confidence, even though we don't have full visibility into the end user flow of product. Anecdotally, we see very positive things happening in those two patient populations with really nice stories coming from the practitioners and the patients.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Patchak from BioShares. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Steve. I've got a few questions for you. I'm glad to see things are going in the right direction. Just wanted to start off with what's with respect to that data that came out in the quarter with the slowing of myopia progression in kids. How has that sort of impacted signing, getting new accounts with the optometrists during the quarter? Has that had quite a big impact?
So it certainly has had a very large impact on the number of calls that we get per day, people calling in and asking for fit sets. So it's made quite a splash in the industry, yes, it has.
Right. With those optometrists, some of those early adopters, those new accounts, are you seeing any trends with those early adopters in terms of how much product they're purchasing? Are you seeing growth within those accounts?
Yes, what we do see is that when an optometrist comes online and starts using our product, it takes a while to get going because each of the sales is a new sale. And as the optometrist has been using our product more and more, we start to see the expected repurchases. But it does take a while to generate that momentum. It's nothing that's surprising us. It's pretty much right on target for us. I think the repurchase rate is something that we've always been really proud of with our lenses. Early in our clinical test launches and our test market launches, we saw really nice repurchase rates that exceeded that of the other contact lenses in the multifocal area. And now that we're in a broader launch, we're still seeing that hold. So that's something that gives us quite a bit of confidence. At least
right.
That we're selling the right product to the right doctors, to the right patients.
Yeah. Once your toric lenses come out and your multifocal toric lenses, is there demand for that product at the moment from the optometrists, even though it's not available? And would you expect sort of a rapid uptake of those lenses, given that you'd have the accounts already established and that they'd be familiar with your technology?
We had certainly expect it to be lubricated. As any product in the contact lens space shows, it always takes a little while for the practitioner to work it into their workflow and to try it out in a few patients. The multifocal toric, which we've now placed into 2019, is something that we get a lot of questions about. It is something that is very needed by the industry. But with any other product, our expectation is that there's a slower, flatter initial uptake as people start to get used to the product and learn how to use it, find the right patients for it, and then it starts to accelerate, and then that gets compounded by the repurchases. So we expect it to take a very similar trajectory to the other products.
Right. And just finally, you indicated you're making some improvements to the spheric lenses. Are you able to say what those improvements are?
Not at this time. We want to be known, especially with our multifocal lenses, we're known as putting out very high-quality products, innovative designs that go far and above just putting out me-too products. And that's what we're aiming for with these improvements in both the toric and in the sphere lenses. So I can't talk about what specifically those improvements are, but they are aimed at putting out products that are consistent with what we think our reputation is becoming, which is putting out very high-quality products that are research-based.
All right. Thanks very much, Stephen. Well done.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Christopher Dunn from Life Science Angels. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Steve, whatever you feel comfortable commenting on, but some of the current contact lens companies, have they shown an interest in VTI with the notion that it would be possible down the line somewhere that they might actually acquire VTI? Any comments you want to make in that regard?
Not too much we can say there. I can say that with $1 million in revenue, we're certainly starting to take a bite out of the industry. We're getting noticed. the proverbial historical net on an elephant's ass that Matthias so kindly coined. I think we're well past that at this point, and the companies are starting to notice, but I can't comment on any specific discussion.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone, and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Ben McCullum from Regal Funds. Please go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Hope you're doing well. A couple of questions.
First, hey, Ben.
The CE mark, does the current submission still include the claim claims regarding myopia progression?
The final submission did include that, though I should emphasize that that has not been approved or come back yet. We're waiting for that now.
Okay. And just in terms of the territory managers that that you've not only hired recently, but over the course of the last, 12 to 18 months, are they, sort of ramping up in line with your expectations? Is there, there's always going to be maybe one or two that don't meet those expectations, or how are you feeling about where that team is at and their ramp up?
If we had 100% of them performing at expectation, I would say that we were probably too conservative in our hiring. I would normally expect a medical device company to have maybe more of a 30% turnover in the first 12 months of a cohort. Because of the quality of the people that we hired, we have a much lower turnover than that. We haven't turned anybody over yet. I suspect that there will be a couple or two reps that are getting some unwanted attention pretty soon, but I think we've hired extremely well. And part of that, I think, is our hiring practices have been to not use a recruiter, not to place advertisements, but use word of mouth and incoming inquiry to make our hires. And we've ended up with an incredibly high quality group at this point that is performing very close to expectation from us, if not on expectation.
Excellent. And then just in terms of your inventory levels, you obviously you're going to continue to invest in your inventory levels over the course of the next few months with the expectation that hopefully Q1's okay, but then there's a strong ramp up in Q2 and Q3. How are you feeling about the manufacturing side and the inventory levels you're managing at the moment?
So we added quite a bit of manufacturing capacity, validated a lot of manufacturing capacity in 2017. And from a capacity level, we're quite comfortable at this point going into 2018. Inventory levels are okay. We started the year with, as we went into the launch of the 20 reps, we ordered quite a bit of inventory and built a little bit up over time. I think long term, we'd probably want to have a little bit more inventory in the banks, but right now it's sufficient. We don't see any supply disruptions anytime soon. And I think between inventory and capacity, we're very well positioned for growth in 2018.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Snoddy for closing remarks.
Well, first of all, for the VTI team that's listening, it's all on you. I really want to thank all of the VTI executives, the VTI employees, for their very hard work in 2017. A very nice result, 2017, great growth with a great trajectory and path forward for the company. Also want to thank the investors in Australia who have been very warm, welcoming hosts for us. And we hope to make you happy in your investment in Visioneering, but really want to thank you for your support of the company and the patients and practitioners that we serve. So thank you very much, and we'll look forward to the next one.